You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. What's your favorite thing about Milwaukee? What defines the city for you? There's the beer, the brewers, the buildings. But our next guest is drawing attention to one critical element that's been at the heart of the city since really before it existed, the water. Between three urban rivers and Lake Michigan, Milwaukee's freshwater resources are both highly practical for shipping, other uses, and highly visible.
And according to our next guest, there might not be another city in the country that's capitalized on its freshwater resources better than Milwaukee. In a new series, he explores the city's water history, its pioneering efforts to improve access to the water and clean it up, and he says freshwater just might be the key to the city's long-term economic success.
David Holmes joins us now. He's a Milwaukee-based environmental scientist and an urban revitalization consultant. His series, Freshwater Mecca, appears on urbanmilwaukee.com. David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for inviting me.
Well, we'll get into some of the details, but big picture, you paint a picture of a real gem here in Milwaukee's waterways. But do you think people are aware of it in that area, or do they just kind of take it for granted?
I think they're sort of aware of it. I think most people appreciate, you know, what a beautiful lakefront we have. But I think just sort of the revitalization is such a slow process that I think people end up being a little blind to all that we've accomplished and also don't necessarily have the perspective on how it really compares to other cities.
Well, let's start on the waterfront of Lake Michigan in particular. You write that the lakefront landscape is beautiful, but it also is surprisingly accessible, especially when you could compare it to other cities on the Great Lakes. As you see it, how did Milwaukee get this right, and where did other cities go wrong?
Well, I think it's really been a long-term story, because I know we back to the park original planning for the parks that occurred, I think, maybe a century ago. And that was probably, I think there's a long history, but I think, you know, looking at this in more detail, and looking at old maps, I think people don't realize that how much of our waterfront was once industrial, covered with train tracks, and there was an airfield. And I think what we got right was, and there was another thing I think that was important too. I think when the city started developing freeway systems, I think a lot of these waterfront areas were sort of blighted and run down. And I think a lot of cities just grasp onto those as a good solution, get rid of the blight, and maybe put a new freeway there. And that was actually part of the plan for Milwaukee, too. We were going to have a lakefront freeway. And I've actually seen the study for it, and they showed a picture of some teenagers playing basketball under the freeway overhead as if it was going to be an amenity. But luckily, that's one thing where Milwaukee residents woke up, and that was never built. And then I think since then, as our waterfront became available sort of through the transition of industry to those areas to other uses, almost all of it became, like the Summerfest grounds, and was maintained as publicly accessible. So that's really remarkable, and particularly when you really look at other cities, and I looked at like Cleveland and Buffalo, those are cities where their waterfronts are completely lined with basically publicly inaccessible features such as highways and an airport and industrial facilities.
So in a way, Lake Michigan is part of the downtown almost of Milwaukee, whereas in a lot of cases there's a huge barrier where you can't get from the downtown to the shore.
Well, yeah, and I think I in one of the articles I presented just sort of the example of Waukegan's lakefront, which really is, you know, it's almost identical physiographic setting. The downtown ends on a bluff about a quarter mile from the lakefront. But in Waukegan, they have a restricted access highway. They have multiple lanes of active rail lines, and then still industrial facilities. So I think people don't realize that I think there's a lot of cities where what happened in Milwaukee didn't take place. It's pretty exceptional.
That's the Lake Michigan side of the equation. You also talk about the rivers, the estuary, if you can define what that is. How has that played out? Is it a publicly accessible, visible, positive feature in Milwaukee?
The estuary is something really interesting that I think a lot of residents don't really, I think they don't really appreciate the significance of it. And the estuary is really the lower mile or two of the Kinnickinnick, Milwaukee, and Menominee rivers. And at the lower end of it, it basically maintains a water level about equal to Lake Michigan. So it's different from most rivers that are subject to, you know, vast seasonal changes in water level. And it's also directly connected to the lake. So you can be on a boat in the lake and come into the downtown area. So that, I think that people see in downtown, particularly on the Milwaukee River, where there's tall buildings that are built directly on the waterfront, and they sort of take it for granted. But that's really something pretty exceptional. Like if you go to St. Louis, I think the Mississippi River there varies by up to 50 feet in a season. And the waterfront there is always dominated by the threat of catastrophic flooding. So it's dominated by flood control measures. With that stable water level in Milwaukee, you can really create this very rich and intimate waterfront development.
And you make the case that Milwaukee's developing a river walk that rivals, maybe even is better than the most famous one in San Antonio that is itself a tourist attraction.
Yeah, that was interesting. I wanted to do that a little bit just to brag about Milwaukee a little bit. But I wanted to actually take a quantitative analysis of San Antonio's Riverwalk because I think it's the symbol of the city, whereas Milwaukee, I think, is becoming increasingly known, but I don't think it gets the respect it deserves. And what you find is that they're actually about the same size. I think Milwaukee's actually a little bit bigger now. But I think what really sets it aside is Milwaukee is in this authentic urban setting that's just amazing diversity. You have the port, you have the downtown high-rise buildings, you have these natural areas, these old restored industrial areas, and then this incredible river that's sort of a miracle, a natural resource. And whereas in San Antonio, we actually found that their walk is primarily on a canal that was excavated, and it's actually drained and cleaned once a year. So I think in terms of the size, I think we're already at the level comparable to San Antonio. But in terms of the authenticity and just being part of this incredible sort of natural resource with salmon and a urban fishery and all these other incredible natural features, I think it's really something that in the future is going to be well known throughout the country.
Talking to David Holmes about his series on fresh water in Milwaukee, the economic opportunities surrounding it, among other things. We'll go to our callers at 800-642-1234. We've got Dale on the line in Wauwatosa. Dale, hi.
Hi, Mr. Holmes, I appreciate your perspective, and I think it's great that Milwaukee is becoming a center, kind of a water capital center. I just have a problem, though. There's thousands of gallons of untreated sewage continue to be dumped in Lake Michigan. And so you'd think that the powers to be would really try to address that. It's a little bit of a contradiction. On one hand, you know, we're a freshwater capital, but we continue to dump untreated sewage into Lake Michigan. So what would he suggest we could do to address that problem?
Dale, thanks for the call. David, you tackle the pollution and cleanup issue in your series.
Well, that's one I struggled with a little bit. I mean, in from my perspective, I think MMSD has done perhaps the best job of any sewage district in the country in addressing this type of problem. But I also, in sort of talking about the incredible restoration, I didn't want to overstate it either because there's still a lot of work to be done. I think like the Milwaukee Riverkeeper had gave grades of, I think, B-, B and C to the three urban rivers. So I think the MMSD does have something in, that's being planned, and I think that that is this green infrastructure, regional green infrastructure plan, which is also pretty extraordinary, where they're going to basically use sort of natural features rather than a major engineering works to try to further capture and eliminate, completely eliminate combined sewer overflows. So I think they're working on it.
And you make the case that Milwaukee was ahead of the game again compared to other similar cities in making substantial cuts in untreated water runoff that gets into the lake?
That's something, too, that I think is pretty is underappreciated is just how much earlier Milwaukee tackled these problems than some other cities. And one I looked at was like Indianapolis, where they started on a similar deep tunnel system. I think it was 2011 or 2012, which was basically about 30 years after Milwaukee. And so I think that the fact that we did that, in part we have to thank Chicago and Illinois for suing Milwaukee, but the fact that we did that, I think, really had a more profound impact on the whole revitalization process in Milwaukee. Sort of like by the time I think the urban renaissance really started taking root in Milwaukee and a lot of other cities in the late 80s, we'd already significantly tackled this water quality problem. And so I think the focus of development and revitalization in Milwaukee really took full advantage of the rivers being clean. And that may not have occurred if Milwaukee hadn't been such a leader.
We're talking with David Holmes about the past, present, and future of Milwaukee's freshwater resources. He says there might not be another city in the United States that's capitalized on its freshwater resources better than Milwaukee.
And what do you think if you live in Milwaukee or you travel there? Do you enjoy the river, spend time on Lake Michigan? Are you impressed with access to the city's waterways? And what else would you like to see Milwaukee do to capitalize on their water resources? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking with environmental scientist David Holmes about Milwaukee's freshwater resources. His new series of articles, Freshwater Mecca, appeared on urbanmilwaukee.com, looks into how Milwaukee became a leading freshwater city with its rivers and lakes. You could join in now at 800-642-1234. Do you use those rivers or Lake Michigan on the Milwaukee shore? Do you appreciate the access to those resources? Do you think it improves the quality of life in Milwaukee? Give a call, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. David, let's talk about these resources as an economic driver in Milwaukee. Do they really make that much of a difference for the city's economic development?
I think they will in the future. That was one of the inspirations for the article series, too. Was there's been a lot of focus on a water initiative that's sort of based on business and technology that's gotten the city a lot of national or even international press over the past couple of years. And then that was thinking about that, was realizing that that really there was another initiative focused on freshwater, which was the revitalization of the rivers and the transformation of the waterfront land. And I think they're linked together because I think that, it's the freshwater landscape that's the visually compelling part of the overall water initiative. And I think that within the combination of the business technology water initiative with this visually compelling and sort of experiential water-based urban playground, I think it's going to make a real compelling brand for the city.
Now, this is an interesting twist. A lot of the restoration efforts seem to be geared toward making the rivers and lakes as natural as possible within this urban environment. That's not always the way we thought of our rivers and lakefronts in big cities in the Midwest, is it?
Well, I think it's sort of a really intriguing combination of natural features and definitely an urban waterfront landscape. I think they're both exciting. I mean, I think I think they caught a 48-inch sturgeon from the Riverwalk last year on Earth Day, which is sort of remarkable. But I think it's really, to me, I love the urban feature, you know, which is the Riverwalk and the connection between the water and the landscape and living spaces. And I think that's those are becoming increasingly interesting too. I think there's going to be a water plaza in the Reed Street Yards Global Water Technology Center that actually going to treat water from the Menominee Canal. And then at the New School of Freshwater Science, it's planned to have an actual spawning stream running up the front of the building that's going to use the water coming from the scientific research.
And the fish reminds me there's been an effort to make the three rivers there more navigable for fish further upstream. What has that involved?
That's something that was intriguing too, because it was realizing that the early leadership in cleaning up the river may have led to an early leadership in doing something about the dams, and so in the Milwaukee River, a big change occurred when the North Avenue Dam was removed in 1994, 1995, and I think the river went from having about three fish species to over 50. But then it turns out that since that time, there's been about two-thirds of the dams that were on the main stem of the Milwaukee River have either been removed or made passable to fish. And this, as far as I could tell, there's no major river urban river in the United States that has been made so passable to fish. And that's really the long-term challenge, is to sort of restore the ecosystem. And there's been a lot of work done in Ozaukee County where the dam removal is the easy part. Then it turns out that every culvert under highways or stuff like that could actually block fish from getting to the actual wetland areas. So it's a very difficult, involved process. But that's another area where I believe that, in particular, the Milwaukee River, there's no urban river that's made as much progress.
I'm wondering, are other cities, say, on the Great Lakes, starting to look at Milwaukee and saying, why aren't we doing that?
I don't know if that... My impression is that they haven't yet. I read a lot of urban blogs and see what people in Buffalo and Cleveland and other places are saying, and I actually haven't seen much recognition of what Milwaukee's done.
I want to get into a to-do list before we're done. What is one change you'd still like to see happen in Milwaukee's freshwater resources to make them cleaner, more accessible, more interesting to people?
I think one change I'd like to see is sort of a perceptual change, where my sense was that we've developed all these great things along the lakefront and along the rivers over the past 2 to 3 decades, but they've all sort of been seen as unrelated attractions, you know, from the Harley Museum, the Calatrava Edition, the Riverwalk, where I think if we really saw them all as a linked freshwater landscape, as sort of an incredible whole, I think people would get more excited about it. But I think in terms of what we're doing, I think what's already underway is pretty remarkable. And that was one of the things I wrote about in the series too. I think there's at least $500 million of projects in the pipeline along the river for redevelopment, and an equally impressive roster of environmental restoration projects. So I think just continuing this present course.
And briefly, what does having this water around actually add to our quality of life?
I think it adds tremendously to it. I mean, I think reading about cities and, you know, sort of the whole what millennials are looking for, they want a city that has a high level of environmental quality, and they sort of want a city where they can have an experiential lifestyle. And I think that's one of the amazing things about the what's happened in Milwaukee is it actually provides both of those in one package. I mean, we have an experiential environment where you can walk, you can kayak, you can bike. Soon there's going to be a rock climbing facility on the Milwaukee River. But it's also this extraordinary environmental feature.
We'll leave it there. David Holmes, thanks for joining us. That's David Holmes, Milwaukee-based environmental scientist. His series Freshwater Mecca is linked on the Central Time Facebook page.